here we are. You just heard the unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch, signaling that it is Wednesday, 8 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.9 in Huntsville. Not to mention, don't ever forget it, live streaming on kpft.org from anywhere in the ether. I am Mary Edgerton, one of the co-hosts of this unique program, and I welcome you to our Storytelling Hour. Along with the rest of our team, our show creator and co-host Hank Rubicek, my other co-hosts Warren Holloman and Greg Audell, and engineer Nicole Rochelin, we celebrate the power of story by bringing you storytellers who will take us on journeys through the windows of their soul and into the worlds, their worlds, with personal stories that bring us together as humans. I know we say that every week, but this part is really true. We're not an interview show or a talk show per se. We are all about telling stories because stories are such a special genre of communication. Before I introduce tonight's guest teller, I just want to thank all our supporters. Okay, I said donors, but you got to admit I'm a pathologist. And Hank said, donors, Mary? That's like they're giving blood. Well, isn't giving money sort of like giving blood? But anyway, that aside, I want to thank all our supporter donors who gave to KPFT during the fund drive. And even when we are not in a fund drive, I want to remind our listeners that you can go to the KPFT website and spontaneously donate any time. So tonight, I have to tell you what I decided to do. I said, you know what? I want to hear the stories from someone that I know our listeners know well, our engineer and media maven, Nicole Rochelin. And I have to tell you, it's only taken me a couple of months to learn how to pronounce that name. But we're going to get to that a little later. We're going to learn about where the name comes from, which is a great story. I have always noticed that she has a fabulous voice for radio. You hear Nicole giving our announcements along with running the soundboard like a professional, and she is so smooth. So in this show, we're turning things inside out. This is the Inside Out edition of So What's Your Story with Nicole Rochelin as our guest. And Hank Rubicek is our announcer. Now, I have to say, Hank and I don't know how to run the boards and talk at the same time. So, Nicole is still our engineer. Okay, Nicole, how's your summer going?
It's going well, Mary. How about you?
It's good. Where's your lipstick, Nicole? I have to tell everybody out there in Radioland that Nicole knows that I never do a show without my lipstick on. And one time when I came in and was applying it, she said, oh, that's my same lipstick. Where's your lipstick, girl?
Honestly, I forgot it. I was busy. I had so many things to do. I have a big day tomorrow, so I had a lot of things going on today.
Okay. Now, see, did you guys hear that voice? Isn't that not a voice made for radio? You live
yes.
a voice? You
hear yes, a voice? It is.
Yes. So, how did you come to radio? Were you in radio before you got to this gig?
I have never done radio before. I was in my very first communications class with Dr. Rubicek, and he was like, there's an intern opportunity for juniors and seniors, and one is syndication and one is engineer, and if you're the engineer, you can be on the radio. So I was like, oh, I want to do it.
I am an engineer. Hey, I love it. A woman who stands up and says, yes, well, I'm an engineer.
Honestly, I just wanted to be on the radio, so I just figured you have to crawl before you walk.
Well, go for it. But now, you mentioned to me, and I think people out there know, or I'll tell you, I'm in healthcare. In fact, I'm sitting here in my scrubs, having had a day at work in healthcare. And Nicole said to me, yeah, I was in healthcare too before I went into communication. So I know there's a story behind it. How did you make this change?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, basically, I was a teenage mom. And although I was a teenage mom, I was an honor graduate. Kudos to me. And
great.
When I've when I finished school and just was thinking about what it was I needed to do, because this is something that I chose to do, because things in life are choices, then I decided, you know what? Healthcare, because I will always have a job and I will always be able to support my beautiful daughter, Nadia. And so that began my journey into healthcare. And so that's where it began. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, especially because my grandmother was a diabetic and I've always wanted to know more about it, because I wanted to find out, where did it come from? Will it come to me? How can I help my granny? I can teach her this. I can teach her that. So I just really felt that healthcare would be something good, especially since I was very personable and I could give back.
So just tell me, and what role did you have in the healthcare?
Well, initially I started out just as like a phlebotomist, and then I went on to a medical assistant, then I went on to the nursing program, and then I was like, hey, I want to be a nurse practitioner now. And it was like, oh no, wait. And so 14 years later, fast forward 14 years later, after all of the study and all the healthcare credits that I do have, I had an epiphany. I just felt like something was eating away at me, and I didn't know exactly what it was. I was just, and for some reason, like, communications just kept coming to me. And I was like, well, is it because my dad and my brother call me motor mouth? I'm always talking and yapping all the time, you know? So is it because of that reason? And then I started praying about it. And as I began to pray and got deeper into my spiritual self, I began to fast and started asking, God, you know what, can you reveal this to me? And then I went to school and I spoke to my career development advisor and I took some different assessments. And lo and behold, everything that came back for me was some form, shape, or fashion of communication. Nothing had to do with healthcare, nursing, healthcare administration. None of that had to do with any of that. And so to me, that was confirmation. And so I went from there and I looked at what classes I had and what would be applicable to what it was I was trying to do and what type of communications I wanted to do. So I chose corporate communications because it was a broad range of topics and studies, and I could really tailor it to fit what my needs were. And it's just been on the roll since then.
Wow, that's great. You know, I'm just going to say about you standing up and raising up your hand and saying, I'm there to do engineering, and I'm a woman and you're a woman. And it's so great that you did that. And I want to say, for all the women out there and the girls, get up and do that. I took a class in how women should get ahead in their jobs. And this woman tells this very funny story. And she says, so you're at Goldman Sachs. And someone comes up and says, well, we're going to have a product that has to do with breastfeeding. So how many people out here have experience with breastfeeding? And all the men sit and say, hey, my wife breastfed. I supported her. All the men shoot up their arms. And all the women are saying, I don't know. Did I do it for long enough? Was I really good at it? And none of the women put up their hands. So I just want everybody out there to listen. You want something, you put your hand up. You lean in. Kudos, Nicole.
Thank you. And it took a lot of courage. And I did have some doubts, but I just really had to stop and look in the mirror and just think about, where exactly are you going? And you're working towards this one goal. And I had to finally realize that, you know what? Oh, I'm doing the same thing and I'm getting the same results. So therefore, I am the common denominator. And when I had that realization, it was like, okay. And then when I took that very first communications class, it was the hardest thing I ever had to go through. And it just really made me feel like not only did I want to be in communications, but I was not as an effective communicator as I had thought I was. I had no problem telling people about themselves. However, I had a very big problem telling me about myself and actually listening to myself as well. And so that made me fall in love with communication even more.
Well, you're going to be on the record tonight.
Yes.
So I have to tell you, I started over also in my 30s. So I did not start out in healthcare. I started out as a physicist, and I was a biophysicist. You know, I had dreams of actually being an astrophysicist, and then I was a biophysicist. And then, you know, grant money dried up, and I was working in the oil industry, and I don't know. Radioland may not know me well enough, but what do you think, Nicole? You think I'm the type of person who works well in the oil industry?
I can't imagine you there.
Yeah.
Because your lipstick does not match.
My lipstick
and it
didn't.
Doesn't matter the shade.
I went in for performance appraisals, and they said the gray skirt's good, but the red silk blouse you wear with it is not.
And it stains. So not a good place for.
So, but you know, life is like a story. You know, I mean, I feel like I hear the narrative in my mind. I can conjure up a movie. The biggest problem for me is I'm the type of person who wants to know the ending in advance.
Me too.
Ugh, see, we share something. I mean, when I read a book,
I think that's like every woman though. Like we want to know. We work hard. We set these goals, and we're like, you know, we're women. We can do this, and we're gonna do this because we've been told so many times that you can't. And so we set that bar so high, but we also want to know what's going to happen.
What's the ending?
Yes.
I read the ending before I read the book. And all these friends of mine are like, okay, just don't tell me, okay? Okay. And when it comes to movies, I'm like, don't worry about giving me the spoiler. Because if I don't know the ending, I'm just going to rush through waiting to see the ending. And I'm going to lose all the wonderful details and the richness of the details of the stories. So I have to tell you one movie that I saw, and okay, Nicole and I really get along, but there are a few generational years that might divide us.
Just a couple, Mary.
Yes. So I'm closer to Hank in years than I am to Nicole.
Well, Hank is 35.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
He and I are just months apart. I'll be 35 in September.
So, and I'm 35 plus one. So, so there was a movie called Chow Manhattan, and it started with a storyline by Andy Warhol. Do you know who Andy Warhol is?
I do have to decline.
Okay. It starts with a storyline by Andy Warhol about a character called Captain America, and it starred an actress called Edie Sedgwick, who was kind of a, never
floozy.
Really made it to fame.
Because she was Sedgwick. A floozy?
She was in love with Bob Dylan.
Like I said, she was a floozy.
And what happens is Captain America actually was a floozy. Left the set before they finished the movie, and Edie Sedgwick kind of took it over, left Andy Warhol, and turned it into a movie about her life. So while you're watching this, it starts as this kind of artsy 1960s avant-garde thing with Captain America and Edie Sedgwick, and then it ends, and it's just Edie Sedgwick playing out her life as a story until she commits suicide. And the ending is just this epilogue about her suicide. But I don't want to let that...
Well, that definitely...
put the tone on.
Oh no,
on where we're going here. Hey, everybody! I want to remind y'all, you're listening to my guest storyteller, and I know we've been bantering, but we have more stories to come. Our very own Nicole Rocherlund here on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.9 in Huntsville. And I always like to make sure that everybody knows that you can catch the show from anywhere using live streaming on kpft.org. The modern way to go. Okay, okay. And everybody, I did have the guest who was the flight director from NASA, and he confirmed for us that they can get the internet in the space station so they can listen to kpft.org when they're missing Houston.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm your host, Mary Edgerton, and now... on the Inside Out edition, we're going to go to Hank and hear about storytelling around town. Hey, Hank, how
hey,
are you?
Hey, Mary, how are you? Oh, this is a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And, you know, I just, you don't never heard of Andy Warhol, huh?
Not at all.
This is where is where Hank and I are 35 plus, and you're 35 minus.
I got a real problem with this.
I love Whoopi Goldberg,
but that's okay.
And
but you know, you made Whoopi Goldberg, Whoopi. But you know, you made a great point, Nicole, about choosing a career that really is important. Well, not really a story, but when I was in junior high, I was doing terrible, and my guidance counselor, I think she was a Nazi, called my mother and told her that, you know, your son isn't doing good. He should take shop because he probably won't go to college. He should take shop. But, you know, you have to understand, taking shop was hard. To me, a wrench is where cattle are raised. You know what I mean? So I had a real hard time with that. You didn't get that one, did you?
That's a Yankee pronunciation.
Yeah, I don't think you got that one. And I didn't notice that you guys wore lipstick all the time. I bet you have the record by the Lemon Sisters, Lipstick on Your Collar Tells a Tale on You.
You know what? I typically only wear lipstick on a Thursday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And today is Wednesday. Well, or unless Mary is coming to the studio.
Well,
Wednesday.
You know what? Enough of me. It is so right, though, that Nicole gets a spotlight this evening because really no words can describe her value to both our program and to KPFT. Friday night at the match, Nicole hosted, really facilitated, the premiere of Blink, the very powerful film about domestic violence created by Courtney Claudet, a brilliant Houston writer-director who was Warren's guest a couple of weeks ago, as some of you will remember. And she was just brilliant. She was great. And, you know, it's just amazing all the things that Nicole does. Tomorrow, Nicole's going to be on Deborah Duncan at 9 o'clock, right?
Yes,
Channel 11. Great day, Houston. Absolutely. Now, all this essential information is on our So What's Your Story Facebook page. It's a page to visit, share with friends, and a spot to leave your comments about our program, guests, or the like. And we'd love it if you liked us when you leave. Incidentally, we are also on Facebook Live as we speak, so join the party. We have Instagram, Twitter, and a couple of Toyotas. We've got everything that you can possibly imagine. Check out our program clips on YouTube, and don't miss our friends at the Moth, the Warehouse Live, the second Tuesday of the month. The next is August 8th, and be careful out there because the theme is caution. And the Grand Slam will be on September 8th at Cullen Auditorium on the campus of U of H. Greg and I are two of the 10 tellers. Tickets will be on sale starting this weekend online at the Moth Houston. And, you know, we always need to thank our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, for backing this program from day one. They are a superlative group of folks, supportive, helpful, and just plain cool. Their monthly story swaps meet the fourth Tuesday of every month at Temple Emmanuel at 1500 Sunset. Go to their website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for upcoming events and all our past So What's Your Story programs. Every show since 2008 listed on the menu under radio program. And Mary! Happy anniversary.
Woohoo!
You're going to be celebrating your one-year marker by hosting the tellers that got you started. Sensational tellers who are veterans of this program, Harwood Taylor and Chris Gorman, next week. How does it feel, in the words of Bobby Dylan? To be on your own, like a Rolling Stone.
Oh, yeah.
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 Nicole's never heard of him either, have you?
not in the slightest.
Oh, you know what? That really bothers me, Nicole. That bothers me that you never heard of Bobby Dylan. That's like saying I've never heard of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I've heard of Bob Dylan. Do I know what he's sung? Absolutely not. However, I can karaoke the mess out of some Whitney Houston.
You know what?
I mean, I'm a Whitney Houston.
I'm getting aggravated.
Were they the same generation?
Let's just get Mary to talk about how she's felt this year, because this is bothering me. All right. I mean, you're no spring chicken. You ought to know who Bobby Dylan is. You said yourself, you're not exactly 20. You know?
Okay. I am now inspired. Wow. I'm going to have a show, and I'm going to bring in Bob Dylan music as the beginning and end for the theme. I'm going to start working on it like a Rolling Stone.
That
I'm
sounds
off.
Sounds good. She's
never heard Blown in the Wind. She's never heard any of that stuff. God.
No,
Lay Lady Lay. Oh, my God. I love that song.
So why don't you just sing a little?
Lay, lay, lay.
Oh, his voice is better than mine.
Yeah, go for it, Dr. Hank.
No, it's okay.
Okay, and I spent a lot of nights in college listening to Heat Up Those Old Coffee Grounds. Anyway, that was a Bob Dylan song. It just didn't sound like it from me. Okay. First, I have to say, being on this show is so absolutely wonderful for me. I'm so excited about it. And I talk about it at work all the time. And in fact, I was talking about it today because I'm going to moderate a session on using tissue for research in cancer. And I put all the notes and everything together and somebody said, oh, thank you. That was really great. You did that fast. And I'm like, ah, I'm doing a radio show. I know how to keep on time. And if you guys are cool, tune into it tonight. So we may have some new listeners out there. Okay, Nicole.
Yes.
You told us how you came to communications. But now I have to tell you, when I kept pronouncing your name Rochelin, which any Texan would say, right? Rochelin. You took me aside and said, Mary, you got to get this straight. It's Rochelin. And I said, Rochelin? Where are you from? She says, Chicago. And I'm like, whoa, it is not Rochelin. And so how did you get, tell me about Chicago. How are you from Chicago and you're here in Texas?
Well, long story short, I was born, grew up in Chicago. My parents decided, oh, let's try this Texas life. And they decided to move to Corpus Christi. I had an uncle who was a pilot in Corpus Christi, and that's a whole nother story in itself. And so my parents came to Corpus, and they found a better life there. They liked it more. And they decided one day, oh, you're coming to visit. And I was like, when am I going back home? And they're like, you are home. I was like, what? And so my brother and I would go back and forth, of course, all the time because my granny, our family, our whole family was there. And so when I decided, you know what, I don't like this Texas life and I really just want to go back home to Chicago with my daughter. And so I moved back to home to Chicago and then I found myself back in Texas. Got married at a very young age, and when I left my cheating husband, because I was so extremely exhausted of different women telling me about his special mole, then my friend who lived here in Houston was like, move to Houston. And I was like, okay. And I did. And I've been here ever since.
Well, tell me a little bit more about your granny, because you told me you spent a lot of time in Chicago with Granny. So
yes.
Who was Granny to you?
Granny, she was my grandmother and my best friend. I loved my granny so much. She's my mother's mom. She had an amazing spirit. My cousin Tasha and I used to always fight and argue, and she used to make us sit at the edge of her bed and go get the hymn book. And she could not sing a note. But she would make us sit there and she would start at page one with holy, holy, holy. But of course, it did not sound like that. The notes were all over the place and we were just like exhausted. And so that made us get along. But besides that, she's also been a major influence in my life. She was a grammar teacher and she didn't allow us to speak incorrectly. We always had to correct ourselves. So I definitely contribute my articulation to her as well as my mother. But she used to have this homemaker and I'll never forget her name. Her name was Purina because, you know, Purina is a brand of dog food. And I'm like, why would anyone name their kid Purina after some dog food? But anyways, she could clean a nice house. However, she could not cook. And I remember her, too, because she used to use up all the toilet paper because she used to drink Slim Fast. I think she lived on Slim Fast. And my granny, she banned her from drinking Slim Fast at the house because she was like, you're using up all my toilet paper. You're going to have to start buying some or bringing your own. You're spending too much time in my bathroom. And so I'll never forget that name because of that. But I used to tell my granny, granny, she cannot cook. She cannot cook. And she said, well, she cleans a good house. And if you don't like the way she cooked, you go in the kitchen and you cook yourself. And I said, fine, I will. She said, well, what do you want to make? I said, I want to make some fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, and some green beans. And she said, okay, go in the kitchen. And if you have a question, come and ask me. I said, fine, I will. So the first meal I made, fried chicken in a cast iron skillet, homemade macaroni and cheese, green beans, turned out perfect. So from that day on, she was like, you're going to keep cooking. now you're going to do this. Now you're going to do that. So years passed, and this particular time, I was like, you know, Granny, I want to make a peach cobbler. And of course, in Chicago, peaches are not in season. So of course, we have to resort to the can. So here I am opening this can, and I'm trying to open it. And what happens? Always, the can opener gets stuck. So I try to take a knife, and I was like, let me open this can because I'm going to make this peach cobbler. Next thing I know, so fast, I had the knife in my hand. I had stabbed myself in the hand right in between my thumb and my index finger. The whole blade went inside. All I could see was handle and blood. And so I'm screaming, Granny, 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 I stabbed myself with a knife. I pull it out my hand and I run it underwater. I wrap it in a dish rag. And she's like, okay, drive yourself to the hospital. And I'm like, what? And she's like, drive yourself to the hospital. So here I am. It's cold, icy, snowy outside. I'm driving down the street to Ingalls Hospital, and I have my hand out the window, blood's dripping everywhere. I spend hours in the emergency room getting x-rays, making sure I didn't cut up my tendons and everything. Everything comes back fine. And so they sutured it closed. They put my arm and hand in a sling. So I come back home, and I have this one hand. So I come home and she say, Nikki, you all right? Because she always used to ask me that every morning as I fell up the stairs. She used to say, this is never a dull moment. And so I'm saying, yeah, Granny, I'm all right. And she said, great. Now go back in the kitchen and finish your peach cobbler. But I appreciated that. And so I finished my peach cobbler with one hand and my arm in a sling, and it was delicious.
Do you still cook soul food?
Occasionally. Very occasionally I don't. And I used to say I typically don't really like soul food now. But I feel like maybe the significance behind it. Now, if my mother cooks it, oh, she has the dressing out of this world. If my mom cooks it, I mean, I'm like, okay, I'll eat it. But it's very few and far between. And I typically don't. I feel like because of the significance of soul food and what it meant to me and how that was something my grandmother and I really shared together. That's where I started it. And with her not being here any longer, and it's just like the enjoyment for me was gone. So, but I get it from my mom. My mom, I love her so much. She reminds me of my granny big time, and her personality is very similar to mine, and so was my grandmother's. And so, like I said, my mom, now she can throw down. I will eat hers, but I mean, that one time a year for the most part.
Well, I have to say, that story of your granny saying, and I love it that you say granny, and I have to tell you, all of my grandparents had died by the time I was born, and I never experienced grandparents. And in fact, for me and my two siblings, the only one for whom there was a grandparent alive for a little while was my sister. And one grandmother was still alive and died when my sister was 6 weeks old. And when our children had grandparents, we just said to each other, we don't even know what this relationship is about. And so hearing you talk about it is
you know,
an opening for me to understanding it.
It has been times where people would ask, are you upset that your kids are so attached to your parents? And I was like, no, like if they're attached to anyone, I would rather them be attached to my parents because I know that they love them and they always will have their best interest at heart. But I was very attached to my grandmother as well. So I know that feeling, especially because my kids were the first grandchildren and my brother and I were the very first. We were the first grandchildren. We were the very first niece and nephew. So I know what that attachment feels like. So it doesn't offend me at all. I'm grateful that my kids love my parents like that.
Well, another thing I love about your story is the way you get home and your granny says, so get back in the kitchen.
Yes.
And that's kind of like, so pick yourself up and get on back. And that's like, raise your hand and say, I'll be the engineer.
Absolutely. And that's exactly how I see it. She always pushed me. She always pushed me. She always was like, you know, I'm a big couponer and clearance sale shopper. And she's like, why are you doing that? Go to the rack and get what you need and just get it. You know, she was like that. But she definitely did, you know, you fall down, you just get back up and it's okay. People make mistakes. Things happen, but move on.
And that's all in that story. Oh, my God. And I have to tell you, every time I've heard it. I just feel the knife go through the hand. And thank God it misses all the blood vessels and the nerves and the tendons and everything. And it's just there, stuck there in the blood. And it's, I'm a very image-oriented person. And oh, shivers go down my spine.
Well, it was pretty gory. It was lots of blood. It just took me by surprise.
I like also that you hung your hand outside the car so that you wouldn't spill the blood in the car. That's super.
Exactly.
Now, me, I've thrown up in the window where it went down into the door.
Oh, but no. Now, I want to hear the story about that, but on another night.
On another night. Hey, Radioland out there, I am hoping you are enjoying the Inside Out edition of So What's Your Story with Nicole Rochelin as our storyteller. There are more stories to come from Nicole tonight, and many more to come from all of us if you just keep us on the air. And so, yes, we're not in a fun drive, but hey, why not? Why not? Just go out there and log on to KPFT and just say, donate now. We can do it. Hey, Nicole.
Yes.
Before we go to the next story.
Yes.
And since Rochelin has been such a big part of our working with each other, how did you get the name? And I'm going to pronounce it correct for Radioland. You are listening to Nicole Rochelin. How'd you get the name Rochelin?
Well, let me first spell it. Rochelin. So, actually, that name came from my granny. Originally, my parents decided on Christy Leanne as the name for me, which I'm so grateful that did not stick. But Nicole Rochelin, and I used to hate Rochelin because my dad and my brother would always say, hey, Roach. And it just used to drive me up the wall. I would get so angry and my eyebrows would turn fire red. But now I love that name, Rochelin. My mom has three sisters, so my aunties. I have, and they're Rhoda Elise, and then there's Melody Sherrill, and then there's Gustavia Lynn. So initially, I was supposed to have three letters from each of their names, from the oldest to the youngest, but the hospital misspelled it, so there's an extra R in there, where it was supposed to be Rochelin, and it's Rochelin because of the mistake. And I just never paid the outrageous amount of money to remove one letter from someone else's mistake. So that's how I got it. My granny created that name for me, and I'm the only one who has it. And if you don't believe me, Google it. Rochelin.
Okay, and I realize I misspell it all the time, but I'm going to fix that as I have been fixing my pronunciation.
Right.
But that's a beautiful story about you and your granny.
And Google Bobby Dylan while you're at it.
You know, you just got to throw that shade in there, Dr. Hank.
Oh, we're going to have some lessons after this. Don't worry about it. He's my man. Yes. When you ride with me, it's going to be Bobby Dylan all the way.
Okay. Well, As everyone knows, I keep a mic in my purse. So if I don't want to listen to what you're saying, I'll just take my mic out and sing my own song.
Well, we'll have to get you some Bobby Dylan lyrics. So
think culture.
Yeah.
So he got the Nobel Prize. He got the Nobel Prize for literature just because his lyrics were so incredible.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I promise I will research Bobby Dylan, and I may even record a Bobby Dylan song and send it to you. Or matter of fact, I'll show up at your doorstep, Dr. Hank, with a singing telegram.
You don't have to. I have all of his albums. You don't have to worry about it.
Are you telling me you just don't want me to come sing to you?
That's part of it.
I saw him, and he is still alive, but I've seen him three times now. Yeah. He's the man for me. So,
does he know that?
I wish he did.
I'm just making sure.
And you know how I love a cheating man, and he's cheating on his wife, so he's right up my alley as a bad boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so we've caught up with how you came to be in communications.
Yes.
But I don't know if our audience knows that our engineer actually has another life as a model.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the story of how you got into that? And I bet you Granny, who said go back in the kitchen, is part of the force behind that.
She is part. And as well as, like I said, my mom and my aunties are like my best friends. And those are my girls. They support me, and they're just, you know, always encouraging. And I just love that. I'm grateful to have them. But so this is the journey. I just was like, okay, you know what? I have gone on the radio now. I was in my first play. So modeling, okay, let me try it. So Ashley Stewart, and those who do not know what Ashley Stewart is, it's a chain of plus size women's stores all over the world. And I don't really like the term plus size. Because I'm not a plus anything. I'll say thickish, because I'm thickish. So it's a store for those thickish women that has vivacious curves. And
I like curvy.
Yeah. Well, you like curvy. I like thickish. And plus, it gives me a little flavor when I say thickish. You know,
if you look at our bodies, you're curvy and I'm thickish. But go ahead.
So Ashley Stewart was having this modeling competition because they were looking for the face of Ashley Stewart, and they're having this tour all over the United States. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. What the heck? I'm gonna go. So, of course, I love to get dressed, and I always say that I am the accessory to what I wear. So, of course, I'm not a big makeup wearer. And I had on some eyeliner, some mascara, and just a little light lipstick, because that's pretty much the only makeup that I own. And they asked me when it was my turn, I registered, and they interviewed me, which I wasn't concerned about because I am a communications major. And then they told me to walk the runway, and it was just this sensation that came over my body, and I walked that runway like nobody's business. And I know that because I've seen the footage, and I just couldn't believe that was me. I don't know what came over me either, but it was the newfound confidence that I found in myself, and the assertiveness within me that I have found, a newness that I really enjoy as well. And so I ripped that runway, and when I tell you, so many women there, and these women have been modeling, they knew how to put on makeup, number one. They knew how to walk. They had the training. They've had their own photo shoots. They were it. So I was very intimidated. And so when they called the 12 finalists, and the first place went to Nicole Rochelin. And right before they announced my name, I just said, oh, I said, well, some of the other girls and I were speaking, and they were saying, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I'm not too sure. I said, but however, if it's for me, it's going to be for me. And that's when they announced my name. So I had to go back the next day. And I went back the next day because now they picked 12 women out of all of the ladies. So the next day, and the little birdie who was judging told me that everyone unanimously agreed that I was the first pick, which was very, you know, I was shocked. I didn't know what to think. And I was like, really? And so the second day I went, and this time we had to practice. We had to walk. We had to do like we were in a fashion show. We had more in-depth interviews, which is online, by the way, guys, you can see it. And the interview part, I wasn't concerned about it because I am a communications major. And we ripped that runway. I did a fashion show. And when I got fitted, I had no idea what I was going to wear. And they gave me this yellow dress. And for those who know me very well, know that yellow is my favorite color. And again, that goes back to my grandmother. She had names for all of us. I was her love. My brother was her sunshine. So I combine those two, and it's like, you know, you can't have love without that sun shining through. So that's why my yellow is my favorite color. So I called my mom. I said, Mom, I made it. I said, and guess what I'm wearing? A yellow dress. And my mama said, oh, they really messed up now. They don't know what they did. And so we went through the show and everything, and then judging time come, and I'm like standing there. I was talking to someone else, and they're like, the first winner is Nicole. And I was like, what? I was like, oh my gosh. And I mean, it was just the most amazing feeling that I had in a long time. So, I mean, it was a new milestone, something new, and that I just stepped out and was like, you know what? I can do whatever I want to do. And I did. And so it's led me to this journey now. After that, I have been in a photo shoot. I've done a commercial with Taz Teas and Tanks, and she's given me that opportunity. And hopefully, if all goes well with Ashley Stewart, I will be going to New York in September. So make sure you guys vote for me. Vote for me to go. And then now I have been afforded the opportunity. There is a fashion blogger by the name of Sarah Jane Rain. And she will be featured on Great Day Houston. And she is a blogger. She does plus fashion. I've done a photo shoot with her as well. And she reached out to me and asked, would I be interested? And I am one of her dream team of ladies, of models, who will be ripping that runway tomorrow morning on the Deborah Duncan Show. So shout out to Sarah for affording me that opportunity.
Channel 11, right?
Channel 11, KHOU.
It may be chapter 11 in your life, but it's, no, chapter 11 is got a different meaning, but no, it's channel 11.
Yes.
Oh, you know, and I just want to go back to the beginning of the hour when you got up and said, I'm your engineer. I can be the engineer. Okay. All you girls, young women, women my age, did you just ready to reach out and do, listen to this story. You got to go back to it. This is going to be a great one on the archives. That's fantastic. Hey, everybody out there, you are listening to So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, live streaming on kpfd.org, anywhere in the ether. And here we are doing the Inside Out show and hosting our engineer, Nicole Rocherlin.
With an H.
With an H, yeah, because I have it spelled here with out an H, but I'm sorry, and I do pronounce it right.
Oh, let me say this so you won't feel alone. All of the hosts do that.
Well, I'm fixing it tonight.
Thank you, Mary.
I won't be part of it. And you know what?
Dr. Hank is tapping the window. I do not. I'm sorry. All the hosts except Dr. Hank does that because he's a communications professor.
No, I just pay attention to your name.
I was waiting for him to get back on that mic.
Okay.
Jumped to so many conclusions. And you know I pronounce it correctly. I do everything phonetically.
You do.
Oh, you didn't have to be taught. But you know what, Hank? You didn't grow up in Texas. You know, I know that there's a little town in Texas right near where my cousins grew up, and it's called Tivola. And when I went to Italy,
Tivola,
there's the same town, only it's called Tivoli. And I had a friend there named Chiara, and I don't know what happened to me. I guess I was kind of nervous because I always forget everybody's names, and I was introducing her to some other people, and I was just going on that autopilot thing of, yes, I will remember her name. And I said, and this is Chiara. And she turns around to everybody sweetly. She was so sweet, and she says, Chiara.
You know, what I like best about a Texas accent, frankly, is that you have these prolonged diphthongs, which sounds obscene, but all it means is that you add vowels to everything, like good and bad. I find that fascinating. You get a lot of fun.
You all, yes.
Y'all.
Okay, Nicole, so we've gone from Granny, and that's such a beautiful story, and Chicago and communications. So what's something you do in your spare time these days?
I karaoke. Okay, well, let me tell you the full story. I do karaoke, and I do karaoke in particular places, like the Uber car.
You karaoke to your customers?
Yes. So
you're an Uber driver?
I am an Uber driver also. Well, you know, being a entrepreneur, and working on my businesses that I have formed, my media company, Love and Sunshine.
I get it now. Love and Sunshine, because you were Love and your brother was Sunshine.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Everybody get that.
Yes. And so, you know, just working on those things and all of the various assignments that I have lately with hosting and so much more, modeling, you name it, I've been doing it. And so I was like, okay, I need something to bridge the gap here. And I need something where it's going to work with my school schedule because, of course, I'm a full-time honor student as well. Thank you.
Go for it.
at U of H downtown. And so doing all of that and,
not
you know.
Music appreciation.
No, no. But you know what? I did when I originally went to college in South Suburban, at South Suburban in Chicago, I started off as a music major. I really did. I have a very musical family. But anyways, that's a totally different story.
Glad you got out of it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I know what I'm going to give you for Christmas. It's going to be a Bobby Dylan CD, his best hits.
I'm really going to have to check this guy out because you guys are like, he's your best friend.
He's the man.
Clearly. And your man, in your mind.
Oh.
But it's okay.
Okay.
Everyone has fantasies. But anyhow, so I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me do this Uber thing and see how it is because it accommodates me. I don't have to accommodate it. And it just works for me. So I particularly like to drive in the evening because when they say the freaks come out at night, they really do.
Mm.
I've transported many hookers and hoes. And this is really true. And I hear their stories and I hear how much money they make, how they find their suitors. I mean, I hear it all. So, of course, because I am in radio, I'm very inquisitive. So I ask questions, of course, and I just get the craziest things. And they want to tell you. And 9 times out of 10, I don't even have to initiate the conversation. They're just so eager to talk to you or tell you about it because they're like, oh, what if this is taxi cab confessions or something? So I'm like, you know what? Uber Chronicles. I can do the Uber Chronicles. So this is my Uber Chronicles, guys. This is the first. I picked up this couple. They were engaged and another guy. And the guy was the best friend who was a homosexual. And he gets in the car first. And with Uber, you never know your destination until you put, you know, that they're in the car and you're ready to start your trip. And then it'll tell me where you're ready to go. So we get in the car and he was like, don't say anything about where we're going. Okay. And I'm just like, oh, okay. At this point, I still don't know. So everyone gets in the car and I push start trip. So I learned that I'm going to Zone de Erotica. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm taking them to the paraphernalia store. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So we get there and they're just like, can you wait for us? Can you wait for us? I said, sure. So I'm sitting in the car and they're like, well, do you have to keep the meter going? I said, well, if you ask, I have to, you know, keep it going. If you ask me to wait, I have no choice. I have to keep going. And they were like, well, we don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg. I said, well, it was right around the corner. The fare won't really be much at all. I said, well, you know what? It's no big deal. You guys are right down the street. I'll be happy to wait for you. And, you know, I'll just turn it off and I'll just wait. And they were like, are you sure? I said, yeah, sure. No problem. Because I am a person that believes, you know, you give and it shall be given unto you. So I'm like, okay, fine. And they're like, come in the store with us. And I'm like, no, no, no. I don't want to go in the store. And they're like, come on, come on, come on. We don't want you sitting out here by yourself. So I'm like, fine. So I go in the store with these guys. And first thing I know, I go in the store and the girl who's behind the counter, she freaked me out. She had this really dark makeup on, these circles around her eyes. Her head was shaved on one side and this dark makeup was just like running down her face. So I was like, did she do this on purpose to look like a mass murderer? I just did not know. And so they're in there and they start saying, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. And I'm looking for a remote control underwear and I'm looking for, you know. And so the lady's like, you know, I work here, but this is my second day. I don't know where anything is, but keep exploring, you know. And so the couple is looking together and I'm just kind of standing there. And so the gentleman, the other guy, he's like, can you help me? Can you help me? And I was like, sure. So he takes me to this, you know, we go and we're looking and he takes me to the men's lingerie. I didn't even know they made lingerie for men. Granted, I did date a guy once who wore a thong. That's a different story. but besides that, I mean, they had lace, they had boy shorts. I mean, I really felt like I was in the women's section. And so I'm just like, okay. And so he's like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I'm just standing there like, I have no clue what to say to this guy. I'm like, I don't know, you know, whatever you like. So he picks up this package. And it's this like black leather boy short pants. And the front of it has like this ring around the front part. And it has like this leather strapping that goes down the shaft. And then right underneath it, it has like this little, wallet to put his other jewels in.
jewels. Yes, I think that's what they call them, right, Hank?
Yes. And so behind it. And so behind, on the backside, there's like this little keyhole that had an opening in the back. And I'm just like, oh my God, like I've never seen anything like this before. And so he's like, should I get the mesh shirt? Should I get this? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And they're like, you know what? We have to buy you something. Get you this, get you that. And I'm like, no, thank you. So finally, after they were so adamant about me getting something out of the store, I decided to get my very first swimsuit cover up, and it was black. It was black, it was netted, and it fit so cute in all the right places. It's very tasteful, actually. And they bought it for me, and they were like, that's your tip. And so it was like $25 with tax. The couple wound up spending over $200 in the store. The other guy wound up spending $160 in the store, and I dropped him off, and I have no clue, nor do I want to know what happened after that. First Uber Chronicle.
You have to write that down. You have to collect those. I have to tell you that I have only been in a store like that twice. Once when I was about 17 years old.
And, why were you 17 and going into that kind of store?
Well, I'm going to tell you. There used to be a little store on the Drag in Austin. The Drag is Guadalupe Drive, right by the university. And there was a store where you could buy musk oil. And I was really into musk oil. And I thought, oh, it used to be this store. And I walk in and I start seeing these things that are, you know, those things. And I'm like, wow. And I see beaded curtains to go into the back. I don't know what was back there because I didn't. I did not. My dumb brain is saying to me, well, why don't you just go up to the front and ask where the musk oil is? And as I get up to the front and 17-year-old me starts to say, well, where's the musk oil? I suddenly realize what kind of shop I'm in. And maybe I really don't want to be asking for musk oil. And I looked straight at the guy and opened my mouth wide open, didn't say a word, and shot out of there. Okay, that was time number one. Now let's fast forward about 40-some-odd years. No, but I'm only 35-plus, right? Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going out with this guy, and I just want to get some lingerie. Just lingerie.
Victoria's Secret sell lingerie,
well,
by the way.
I just wanted to see what one of these other stores had in the way of lingerie, just to see, you know. And my daughters were getting ready to go out, and they're like, Mom, you want to go out with us? We're going to go eat, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 I have errands to run, because I'm not going to tell them where I'm going. Anyway, so I went to, I think it's called Adam and Eve over in Montrose. Anyway, I went and parked my car.
Right down the street from here?
Yes. Yeah. How did you know?
Just a wild guess. I'm an Uber driver.
And so I'm in there, you know, looking at this stuff and looking at this stuff and thinking. And, you know, it's really hard to take your body, I'll call it your new body, your new emerged body when you're newly divorced, and think about dressing in those things that you were too shy to dress in when you could have worn them. Anyway, and I'm wandering around and thinking about it, and I guess I finally picked out some stuff, which I have to tell you, I have not worn yet. They're still in the bag. And I get
in
the,
my size.
I get in the car, and I drive home, and I get in, and the girls are already there, and they're like, oh my God, Mom, I see on your bag, you went to the Adam and Eve. You know, we saw your car there, but we said, oh, that can't be Mom, but that was you. Look at that. And I'm thinking, man, so busted.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
So
Mary.
I haven't gone back. I have not gone back. So, okay.
So she says.
Did I remind everybody that you are here listening to So What's Your Story? God, I'm having such a great time on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, live streaming, listening to the Inside Out Show with our engineer, Nicole Rocherlin. I think I'm getting pretty good at this.
You are.
Hey, yes. So is there another driver in your family? Is there another talent who's going to take over as an Uber driver?
Well, I hope not, especially my son, considering that when at the age of 4, he drove my car and drove me down the street and destroyed not only my SUV, but totally destroyed my neighbor's car. Well, actually, not just one of their cars, both. He smashed the car, the middle car in between, and then also damaged the car on the outside. So I'm really hoping that my son does not go in that transportation business. I don't know if we can handle that.
How old was he?
He was just 4. Actually, it happened, I'll never forget, it happened November 2nd, and my son had just turned 4 on October 1st.
Okay, look, my feet barely reached the pedals. How did this 4-year-old reach the pedals?
Cowboy boots. Everyone thought my son was like 7 or 8 years old. He was a big boy. He's very athletic, outgoing, wonderful kid. And I mean, he was sitting at the edge of the seat. I went to check the mailbox. He hopped out of his car seat. Well, he unbuckled himself, hopped out of the car seat, put the car in drive, looked at me, hit the gas. And that was all she wrote. Next thing I know, I heard this boom and I'm waking up off the pavement, running to my child, and I'm getting strange looks like someone had lost an eye or something. And come to find out, I had lost quite a bit of things. But thanks to my dad. I love you, Dad, for giving me all of that cocoa butter and all of that vitamin E to cure that road rash I had on my face from that accident.
Okay, and a shout out to your son. Let's avoid anything in the transportation industry. So, this has been great, but I think it looks like we're starting to wind down. Brian and Jason are next with To Tell the World, another class act on KPFT. Hey, and while I'm talking about KPFT and class acts, do remember, if you can, to go to kpft.org and just think about donating. And before we move them on to that class act, before we get there, you want to say goodnight to anybody out there in Radio Land?
Yes, I would like to say goodnight to the loves of my life, Nadia Janae. I love you. I hope you're listening. And to my son, Levi Gregory, I love you very much. And to my family, friends, and to the, shout out to my wonderful models that I'm going to be on that runway with tomorrow. And a big shout out to Sarah Jane Rain for, again, allowing me this wonderful opportunity. Love you, and I'm so proud of you.
Hey, and a shout out to all those girls out there. You can do it.
You can and you will.
Okay, so while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story? Keep loving a great story, and we'll keep bringing them to you. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you to our radio audience, and I will be forever reminding you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Peace.
Veterans Retreat Center and Project Respect host a back-to-school youth talent showcase on Saturday, August 5th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Contestants ages 5 to 18 enter the showcase free of charge with a chance to win a trophy. The Veterans Retreat Center will also hand out free school supplies to local students. For more information, contact Teresa Pham at 832-452-4598 or by email at veteransretreatonmounthouston@gmail.com. KPFT Houston.
Picture yourself driving home listening to a great story or a song or a discussion.
Suddenly, you find yourself parked, but rather than turn the radio off, you stay in your car to hear what you're listening to the end.
That's called a driveway moment.
A driveway moment?
Yes, it's that moment that you just can't get out of the car because what you're hearing is just that good.
Then hey, what better place to support KPFT?
KPFT features music, news, and talk that is so compelling people will do anything to hear the end of it. If you're in your car right now and have your cell phone with you, as soon as you pull in, give a call to our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314.
Give me that number again.
713-526-4000, extension 314. Speak to our membership department and become a member.
Your pledge of support helps keep this valuable resource on the air. This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.